Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
I'm back. We're back. We had a week out of office last week. We were on our very first cruise ever as a family on the Disney Wish.
Yeah. It was it's kind of amazing to be back. I have found, I think, with vacations that there's this like this kind of bullwhip or slingshot or something effect that almost happens to me. Tell me if this happens to you, where like I think a lot of times when I'm on vacation, my mind is so in vacation mode that I don't even know if I fully appreciate like how much like fun or how much stress that I am actively under.
Yeah.
Until I like get home from it, and then I have like a little bit of time to like reflect on how the past several days went. Like like a lot of people say, like sometimes the most fun thing about a vacation is just being able to like anticipate it, like look forward to it. It's like if you know you're going to the beach this month or you know next month or something, then you have like weeks on end where you're like, oh man, I can't wait. Like it's gonna be so much fun. I'm gonna be able to go and like unplug right. and relax. Like and the fun part of it is knowing you have this fun thing on the horizon. But sometimes for me, I think I will get through an experience and not know how much I enjoyed it until after it's over.
Right.
And then like upon reflection, I'm like, wow. And for me on this particular trip, I feel like I got home and I was like, I am actually, despite how chaotic and wild and like, you know, the, like I always imagined going on a cruise to just sort of be like the, epitome of the like sort of, like touristy, relaxing, easygoing vacation. And I was like, there's a lot of moving parts with this, you know, where there's like, there's flights, there's bus rides, there's, you know, like meetings and all these different like bits. And despite all that, I feel like I got home and like when I was like, man, I actually do feel recharged.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I was like, I feel really good about it. And like, as I was looking back on the week, I was, you know, I was scrolling through all my photos and I took a ton
of
photos. I was like, you know, this was a good moment. This was a good moment. Oh my God, I forgot about this one already, but that was so much fun. Like it was really cool. So anyway, have you had any amount of experience in any capacity, whether it was like, that was good, bad, good to be home, sad to be home?
I think there was definitely, so several things. Like, I think I almost would, one of the feelings I've had since we got home from the cruise is that I almost like, I think you need to have like been on a cruise before to like, truly know how a cruise is. Like,
that's fair. Yeah. Like, I agree with that.
Like, I feel like by the third or fourth day, like everyone was like really like had it figured out. And I was like, you know, I was good at navigating the app and I sort of like knew the schedule of the ship and like when dinner was and like, okay, this is where the kids can go or this is what I can expect to get done or here's all the places I can eat at any given time.
Right.
And like, okay, here, a great way to like think about, cause there's a lot of time where it's like, yeah, what are we going to do next? Like, what now?
Right.
And there's like, you know, they have, you know, the cruise app is really good and it's like every 15 minutes there's like something else happening, so you can just basically open that at any time and be like, yeah, I'm interested in that, let's go do it,
or
this is at one, so let's plan around that. But I don't feel like I got into a groove with that until like maybe the last like full day at sea, which so I feel like if we did it again, like I'd be much more equipped. I think So it's interesting you mentioned like looking back at all your photos, and I'm like, I was looking at my photos too, because like, oh, I should post, like, now that we're back and we have Wi-Fi and service again, I right. should, maybe I'll post some pictures. And I was going through, I was like, I did not take a lot of pictures. Like,
no way.
I know, like, I was sort of like semi-vlogging along the way, but like, I'm looking through it and I'm like, man, I wish I'd taken like a lot more pictures. And like, I was like kind of surprising myself, but then I think back and I'm like, I know the reason I didn't is because almost like every moment is with the kids. And it's like they are, they command so much attention all the time that it feels like it'd be so easy to take out your phone and just take a picture. People do it all the time at like any, at their convenience and their leisure. And it was like, I think having the kids there, I mean, it was absolutely a blast. We had a lot of fun. There were many highs and I have lots of good memories, but there are also definitely like a bunch of like, definitely some lows as well.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it that like, you know, we're like, I mean, it'll be interesting again, you know, like reflecting someday yes. on what these like vacations were like, because there's even a part of me like in terms of being parents of young kids, especially going on something like a Disney cruise, where it's like, this is like one of those things where if it, like, you start to realize how much a lifetime's worth of like marketing has infiltrated your brain in sort of like the way in which you perceive what you are gifting your family in this capacity that, yeah. that is like, it's like family, kids, we are going on a Disney cruise. It's like I have spent my life being like subliminally or like in some capacity, like guided towards this decision as if what, like, this is the most fun thing that you could possibly ever give to your family,
right?
Ever. And then like when you get there and it dawns on you that they are not aware of this lifetime's worth of messaging.
Oh yeah, they have no, yeah, like, yeah, Luke and Nick and Nate, they have no idea. They're just like, this is just, I guess, what we're doing this week, so
right, great. Yeah, so we're here, you know. But like, yeah, so when you have like those meltdown moments, you're like, you sort of like take like that like little bit of a step back and you're like, wait a second, no, I'm here, I'm on a Disney cruise, I am like out at sea, I have like successfully yeah. delivered
I know.
The, like, you know, the thing to deliver, and at the same rate, and then, but then you look at them and they're upset and they're sad or whatever, and you're like, wait, this isn't
right,
this isn't what's supposed,
don't
to,
you appreciate this come like, on,
oh man,
no, which is not to say that they don't, but it's like, it's so, this is, I think, one of the absolute hardest parts about parenting is like assuming your kids have the same like emotional range and maturity as adults, and that they should just be like grown up already.
Yeah.
And it's just like, they just don't. And like, it's so understandable that there's like so much stimulation and like things are not in their control and they're out of their routine and like, they're not used to it. They don't know what to expect. And it's like, it's easy to see why it would be overwhelming at times. And like, when you're like in the middle of doing something fun, it's like max out fun. And then it's like when they're like unexpected and they don't know what's happening next, it can just feel like, you know, I can easily see how you can be overwhelmed.
Oh yeah.
And upset
yeah.
about stuff. And you know, when you can't even like, you don't have your own space. It's hard to like go just like, you know, if it, on the, like at home or something, if Luke is like really upset, you know, a lot of times it's just like, just go calm down, go in your room, play for like 10 minutes. And it's amazing how he'll come back and just be like a different person. And
yeah.
it's like that space does not exist on the cruise ship, you know?
Yeah, no, everything is thrown for a loop. And yeah. this is like one of those things where, like, cause you know, Addison was going through like a lot of the same things where I don't even think like Alice or I fully realized how regimented our life has become as like as parents.
Yeah,
like we sort of like live and die by our schedule and like yeah. like the times that Addie is like supposed to go down for, you know, each of the naps and like what our bedtime rituals look like and like, you know, what her diet typically consists of and,
right.
and all these types of things. But then when you're out there and you've got like just like stimulus, like turn up to like not even 10, but 11.
Yeah.
You know, it's like there is everything everywhere all the time, all at once. And then there's like sweets and candy and, you know, yeah, just like, sort of like,
yeah, just toys and shopping.
Right. Right. Yeah. yeah. And so it's sort of, and you know, you're sort of like on that, like, no, we're on vacation. Like, you know, this is the exceptional time. This is the time that you can like allow this. So, you know,
exactly.
You get back to the room at the end of every night and the, you know, like there's the, like the, like, towel animals that have been crafted on your bed. But in addition to that, there's also like, you know, a piece of candy for each member of your party, which, you know, Addie figured out on night one. Yeah. It was sort of like, as soon as we got back to the room, she was like, candy time. And it was like, you know, in my mind, I'm like, absolutely not. Right. But also like, you know, now we're here. Now it's like, oh.
Yeah, it's so funny. There are certain things that they did pick up on pretty quickly. And like, I'm glad you mentioned the towel animals. So this was a pretty fun thing. Like the first night we were there, our dinner was like the Marvel themed dinner.
Yes.
Yes. Yep. So which was pretty cool. And but like, you know, every like, you know, 10 minutes or so, like all the screens in the restaurant would turn on and you'd be, you know, brought up to speed on, you know, whatever was happening on the ship that the heroes were helping. And in particular, it was Ant-Man and the Wasp who were like talking to you. And they have, I mean, it was, I thought the production value was pretty good. I mean, they have all the actual actors.
Yeah. Yeah. Know? They definitely do. Yeah.
Yeah, so, it was like, oh, man, they like Paul Rudd and Evangeline Lilly, like, came out here and filmed a whole thing. That, and
yes, for the cruise itself.
For the cruise.
So all I could think in my mind that like the entire time that this was like playing out was I was trying to be like, what was it like the day that like that these actors were given the call and they're like, hey, Disney Cruises is doing like a Marvel thing and like they need, like we need someone to come and be, right. and be like the host of this. It's like in my mind, I'm trying to like imagine as these like, you know, A-list actors and stuff like that. It's like, where does their head go when asked to go and be like part of cruise ship entertainment? Like, if, is that something that's like, heck yeah, like I definitely want that gig. Like,
right. Or is this just sort of like part of your contract? It's like, yeah, when you agreed to be Ant-Man, it's like whenever we need you for, theme rides,
like
you got to come do it.
Yeah. In your contract on page 63, subparagraph 7. Yeah,
You are. It was. It's like, who are they going to get for this? And it was so interesting, like seeing like who they got for it. And then like, what are their goals even like with this particular thing? Because I felt like it was better produced than like, you know, when you're standing in line at like Cosmic Rewind and the Guardians are there and you're like, all right, everyone's just sort of like, yeah, we're here for the standing in line day and we're gonna this mission's gonna play a million times and it's like a little bit cheesy, but we're all in character and we're the real actors and stuff. But this, it felt a little bit higher production value than that. Okay. So they had, but it's not, you know, but all, so they had like big, but you know, it's like, oh, they didn't get like Captain America or like Iron Man or something, you know, it's like, it's Ant-Man and the Wasp. It's like, but it's still Paul Rudd, you know, it's like, he's still on the same, you know, list as Chris Evans and Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Like, yeah, he's a big deal. Like,
He's still got a big guy there. They had Captain Marvel, you know, it was like, they had Miss Marvel, Captain Marvel, and then, the new Captain America. I said they didn't have Captain America. They did.
They do. Yeah. Sam.
Just the Sam Wilson version, not the Chris Evans version. I thought that was interesting. It's like, are they, and then it's like, okay, so are they trying to like get you more introduced? Like they want to give you more screen time with like these new characters that are sort of the new faces of the MCU
right now.
Like that's also part of their goal, I think, in there. But anyway, the whole point of it is that in the videos, Ant-Man Scott is like, you know, futz it around with all the Pym particles and he blows up this giant, towel swan that he's folded.
Yes.
And so when we got back to the room that night, that sure enough, there's a towel swan sitting on the bed and all my kids are like, oh my God, Ant-Man was here.
Yes.
And it was like so funny. So then like every night when we come back to the room, they'd be so excited to see what like Ant-Man did or like what animal he folded on the room. And we were just like, that was so funny. It was like Santa was coming, but it was Ant-Man.
Yeah. I know. It was really, really adorable in the way that it played out. And I was like, I wonder whether or not this is like a common occurrence for people who have like witnessed that, like whether or not the kids are like, oh, Ant-Man's the one who's doing it, or if this was like just something very specific that they were like, oh, okay, Ant-Man makes the towel creatures and now we have a towel creature every
night. Ant-Man.
Yeah. Which was super fun. So we, and then the other cool thing is they always put like the sunglasses from like the like somewhere in your room, they'll like take the sunglasses and put them on like the little creature, and like, so that was really adorable. So that was always Addie's favorite, was to figure out like how they were going to end up using the sunglasses. I would say Addie's favorite, second to the fact that it meant that there was going to be
candy
in the room. Yeah.
So the last night, so like, again, like getting used to it, like every night at dinner, there's basically, they hand you a menu and they're like, okay, here's your appetizer option, your entree, your dessert, if you want super salad, whatever. And so you just sort of go through and pick one of each. And on the kids, it's sort of the same way, but the dessert was sort of the same for the kids every day.
Yeah.
And one of the options was like a Mickey ice cream bar. And that's what Nate kept choosing every day. Yep. But so on the final day, you do like a farewell breakfast thing.
Yep.
And at that point, you could tell Nate was like dialed in. He's like, okay, when we go to the restaurant, I pick a food and then I get an ice cream bar. So we're just there for like breakfast. And he's like, I want sausages, then an ice cream bar. And it was like, oh, that's so funny you figured it out. Also, no, I'm not getting an ice cream bar for breakfast.
Not when we're about to be traveling all day.
I'm sure if we asked them, they would have brought it. The crew on the ship was very good at accommodating basically any request.
It was unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, like, it's definitely one of those things where, like, as much as, like, all the obvious, like, Disneyification of everything, it, like, makes it super special and fun, the crew, like, the people that, like, work the ship are just amazing.
Yeah,
like,
they were really
good. They're so great. So, yeah, huge shout out to them. But the other big thing that, like, I started to get to, like, really experience what I felt like possibly in like full force for the first time was how much fun it is to watch your kid experience fun.
Yes.
Like, mm-hmm. you know, and it's like forever, like, you know, we've been going to the parks now quite a bit. Like, I mean, almost like annually for the past like 7 years or so. So like,
yeah, it's crazy to think about, but yeah,
we've definitely got like some reps in and stuff. And like, there's so many aspects of going to the parks that, you know, like historically you never really paid a huge amount of like notice to, because maybe they weren't the things that you as a full grown adult were looking to get from your park going experience.
Right.
But now all of a sudden, like everything about like the character meet and greets, it's like, I don't know, like it, like to watch Addy be so excited to like get in line to meet Donald Duck.
Yeah.
You know, it's like typically I would have probably been like, oh cool, look, there's Donald, you know, like I would have like, you know, sort of like waved out of like, you right. know, like whatever, and like kept going.
Right. Like, but you an adult is not like, it's like, it's cool to see, oh, there's Donald over there, but you're not like getting in line to go meet him.
Yes. Yeah. Right. And so like we went and we met Donald, and then we met Daisy, and like Daisy like kissed Addie's hand.
Oh my goodness.
Know,
yeah.
Which was like the cutest little thing ever. But then Addie saw that like Goofy was out in line, and she was like, oh my gosh, well, I really want to go and meet.
Oh my gosh.
Like, I want Goofy to kiss my hand. And so like, you know, we go and we're waiting in line, and like, you know, this was like one of those things like where we like, you know, we're telling Addie like on day one, like, okay, we have to like wait our turn. She's like, wait turn. So she got really good about like, you know, when we go and get in line, right. you know, she'll like look up at us and she'd be super patient. Like, wait turn. And you know, then like we get up, you know, we're front row in line or whatever, and like Goofy comes up and she like literally like puts her hand out for Goofy to like,
oh, to kiss
her.
That's
hand.
So cute.
And so of course Goofy has no idea why she's right. like why she's doing this, but then Alice is, you know, she's like, Daisy kissed her hand, and then so like then Goofy was like right on cue and yeah. like did it right away. But so like upon coming home, it's like when you ask Addie about the cruise, and of course her vocabulary right now is still fairly limited,
right,
you know, she doesn't have like that much she can like, you know, sort of chime in and like give you thoughts about.
Yeah.
But like the thing she kept telling everybody was, Goofy kissed my hand.
Oh.
And it was just sort of like, I can't believe that this is like the thing that like fully registered inside of her mind. But it made the aspects of doing these types of things so much more fun. So like all of my favorite moments of the cruise were quite literally all of the moments where I was just getting to watch Addie like enjoy herself. Like, oh, that was like the fun for me.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I think there is that like line you cross, and I think like where the vacations start to be like more about your kids and like what you can do for them, and less about like how you're going to enjoy it personally. Like, I remember, yeah, last year when we went to the beach, we'd been to the beach a few times since having kids, and my expectations going into the beach have been the same my whole life. Like, it's going to be super fun, nonstop fun. I will have zero worries. I'm going to sit on the beach and get in the water and do whatever I want.
Right.
And it was like, it was very different once you have kids, where it's like, oh, well, you're going to be interrupted almost every 5 minutes and, need to go work on something. And
yeah, someone's going to get sand in their eyes.
Or they're going to want you to dig a hole. They're going to want you to come in the water with you, or they're going to want you to, you know, do whatever. You know, change diapers, whatever it's going to be. And I remember just like going into the beach trip last year, just as if like, all I care about is playing with the kids. Like, that was my only concern. And as a result, it was just like, such a fun trip.
Yes. Yeah. Overall. Yeah. Yep. I remember coming out of that. Yeah.
Yeah. That was super fun. And I think, you're right. It's like watching the kids have fun is absolutely the highlight on, I think for the cruise ship and like Disney World and stuff, like when we're there with them.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Yep. So, kind of just a whole new frontier. But then the other really cool thing about this particular trip was like the sheer amount of time that Addie got to have with you guys.
Oh my gosh. Well, that was also just a big highlight for me. Cause like, we got to spend like 5 days in a row, like seeing Addie, which is fantastic,
which you know. She loved.
Yeah.
Okay. I cannot stress this enough. So honestly, like we went on a cruise ship, we met all the characters, we did all the fun. The real absolute highlight for Addie was hanging out with Jay.
Aww.
Like she loved it so much to the point where like we could literally like, you know, she would like wake up in the mornings and this is actually another like one of those funny like little asides is just that like you've always historically like woken up like fairly early and I feel like your kids also wake up kind of early.
Mm-hmm.
On the flip side of things, I was always like the kid in the family that like slept in.
Yeah.
And it was sort of like, you know, it'd be like Christmas morning and you guys would have to like come and like nudge me to like,
Ben,
you
know, like
come on, man, we gotta go sit at the top of the stairs. So I was a big sleeper in her. And Addie, as it turns out, also was a big sleeper in her, nice. Which is not the worst thing in the world. But it meant that like oftentimes we were in a hurry to go and do things. And so like, you know, you're trying to like wake her up from either a nap or in the morning.
Right.
And it was like, there was nothing doing. It'd be like, we're going to go see Jay. And she'd be like, all right, I'm up. We're going to see Jay.
When are we going to see Jay now? Yes.
And so every time we saw Jay, she would like immediately go and like grab his hand. Like I have so many pictures of like Addie just like holding your hand as you like walk through a hallway or walk through the parks or walked along the cruise. It was so amazing.
Yeah.
So.
It's a pretty magical feeling on the receiving end too. We're just like, cause like I love her so much, but like I don't get to see her every day. So, or anything like that. And then she would just come up to me, just grab him, like, oh, me.
Like, I know, yeah. It's like I'm the chosen one today.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, this is amazing. So yeah, I loved like being able to walk around the parks, just like holding her hand and stuff. That was so, and she's so fun to like play with.
Oh my gosh, yeah. So that was it's it, just really, really cool and fun and special just to like get to see those like little moments happen. And so I think that was the other big thing for me. It's like normally I think when I'm on these trips and this was what was kind of interesting about all the photos I took is that like you go through and a lot of times there's like, okay, we're at the castle. So it's like, let's everybody go and stand in front of the castle and we'll take like the perfect photo in front of the castle, like where everybody's like smiling at the camera and like, you know, boom.
Right.
But then like what I ended up really loving was that there were like these like little moments where it was like, you know, we got Addie this like special chair that she could use like on like the planes and stuff like that and the buses.
Yeah.
And so like, you know, we took pictures of those and I was like, you know, at some point in time I'm gonna look back on this and be like, oh, I forgot about that chair. You know, like that, like at some point in time we needed this extra accessory to like make travel easier or whatever.
Right.
Or there's like the pictures that are sort of just like, you know, you and it's like at the airport. It's like, but like, you know, you're way off the distance. It's not like a super in focus photo or anything, but like, you know, it's like one of the ones where Addie's like holding your hand or there was like one night where we went to like one of the shows and Luke really enjoyed sitting next to like Addie at the shows.
Yeah.
So there's like a picture of them like sitting side by side, like where their legs can't even like extend over the cushions.
Over the chair.
You know, and they've got like popcorn and you know, like Luke sort of like leaned in like towards Addie and it's like, you know, they're not like the greatest composition photos, but they tell a story and they like mark a moment. And I was like, oh, like, I could as soon as I got home and I was like scrolling back through these photos, I was like, oh my gosh, like these are such crystallized moments now. Like this is so, I'm so glad that we captured it in time because eventually they will be so much older.
Yeah.
And their personalities could be so much different. But right now, like I can always go
right
back
here.
And be like, remember when we were, you know, we saw Aladdin, you know, like that was so fun.
That was, you know, the Aladdin show was good.
It was really good.
Yeah. That was really fun good. One.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Y'all are likely aware of the fact that we have our very own Shopify store, Carlin Brothers Mercantile. And it's hard to imagine not having it now, but arriving at the decision to open our own web store was a big one. In fact, we started our journey on the interweb back in 2012 and didn't finally open up shop until 2018. And a huge part of that is just not knowing where to start, but that's where Shopify steps in. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, which is a fancy way of saying it's a really easy and effective way to start an online business, no matter if you're operating out of your garage or have like a whole building or three or something. Once we were set up, our biggest concern was trying a new product, only to discover no one was interested in it. But Shopify is powered with so many reports, more than you can even imagine. And this is so handy because it allows us to use data to better provide what folks are actually interested in. It's so easy to use, but even if you do find yourself caught in a jam, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/poppop.
Popcorn Culture is supported by Arena Club.
Okay, so you guys know that I love trading card games and that me and Ben are big time collectors of Pokemon cards. You know, it's that childhood fantasy of finally being able to use adult money to buy those highly coveted rares of our youth. And like, even in our office, we have not one, but two full display cases with some of our all time favorite rarest cards that we've pulled. But something I did not know existed when I was a kid in my youth was the grading process for trading cards or sports cards or whatever you're collecting. You know, to me, it was just like a rare Charizard is a rare Charizard. Like, it doesn't matter if it's been hanging out in my pocket with my lucky paper clip. Turns out it does matter, and kind of a lot, because if you get your cards professionally graded, it can add huge value. And then not only that, but once they're graded, they will like seal them in that pristine condition inside of a plastic case, or what's known in the industry as a slab. And that's where Arena Club steps in, because it's like buying a booster pack, but it's for a pre-graded card. Now, I know that can take like maybe a second to wrap your head around, because you're opening physical cards on a digital platform, which means you open the pack online and see your pulls where they can be added to your showroom for the world to see, but you can also request them to be sent to you at any time. So they have got a ton of pre-graded cards, and then you will get to randomly open one, and then they'll keep it for you, or they can send it to you, or you can just like sell it or trade it online or whatever you want to do. But whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform you have got to check out. And right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/poppop, which, wow, that is a crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's like $40 right there. Anyway, that's arenaclub.com/poppop for 10% off your first purchase.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Yeah. Okay. So I feel like if we're gonna we can't talk about the cruise without talking about the sort of pin mania.
Yes.
Happened on the trip,
dude. You get to take full credit for this whole concept. But the contagion that is the pin obsession. You talked, I think in it was the episode that came out last week about like the Pluto sort of like snowball concept.
Yeah, like should we be aware of like the Pluto bleed or whatever?
Exactly. Yeah. And I would say, and I'd be curious to hear what your thoughts were in terms of like how you felt like this trip went, because like. I would say that it wasn't just the Pluto aspect of it, but like you got everyone, every member of the family, like dialed into this pin.
Well, by no intent either. You know, I was just sort of, you know, it's just like, you know, loving what you do, and it's contagious, I guess.
I think that's exactly it.
Yeah, it wasn't very, like everyone should pick a character or anything like
right.
that. Yeah.
No. Yeah. It wasn't an assignment. Yeah. I think it was just, you're exactly right. It's just contagious enthusiasm is apparent. Like people can tell the difference.
So. Yeah, absolutely. So, it was super fun. I was so hyped to go in and do some like some pin trading around the parks and on the cruise, and I really didn't know what to expect. Like I knew there'd be like shops and stuff on the boat, but I didn't think there'd be like a ton. And then there's like, I know for any given cruise that's going out, there's like, I guess, Facebook groups that form.
Yeah.
And there'll be like all the people that are going to be on that cruise will start, you know, coordinating different things or meeting people. There was this big trend of like people, like if you walk down the halls, people would have these like three pocket like door hanger things.
Yes.
And what they would have done was like almost arranged like a secret Santa with another family. So then when they got on the ship, like, I guess you go leave all the gifts for their kids and stuff on their like little door hanger and they come and leave them for you. And it's just like people were so into it, and it was like everywhere.
It was. Yeah. The decorating. And I feel like I've learned maybe that this is more of like a cruise thing, but like the decorating of your cruise door, because they're all metal, you can magnetize all sorts of stuff to it. And like people have gotten very clever in terms of like, you know, how they do it and how they interact. And I love what you guys did, but I'll let you tell it.
Okay. Well, this is a fun thing I learned. So during our pin training, I actually learned, I saw on someone's door that they had been awarded like best decorated door on the ship.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, it is so game on if and ever we are back on a cruise. I didn't know we were playing a game here, but
now that I know, it's on.
It is on. They had covered their door in like Perler bead characters. They'd all made themselves and stuff. So that was, I mean, theirs was pretty impressive. Obviously a lot of effort went into it, but anyway, we'll see you next time. But so the other thing people organize is if they're like pin traders and they'll like hang up a board or something on their door and just put up a bunch of tradable pins on it. And it's just like it is at the parks, where it's just like, you know, take one, leave one.
Exactly. Yeah.
There's like a big, you know, group where it's just like, leave your door number, whatever it is here. So everyone knows what doors to go to on the ship.
Right.
And I mean, I didn't look at whatever those were. You can also just like walk around an entire ship floor and just sort of find them on your own. And oh man, it was so much fun.
It was
like
going
and doing that. I mean, I think that might have been the highlight for my kids, was just doing the pin trading, like, which isn't even something offered like by the cruise itself. It's just sort of part of being on the boat. But you know, we our strategy going in was that we bought this like bulk trading pin set off like eBay or something. You can just, you know, get like, I don't know how many we had, like 25 tradables or something, 25 or 50 or something like that. And they're all just sort of like bulk. There's like really no intent to keep any of them. They're just for the sake of like putting on the board so you can get something you do want.
Exactly.
Yeah. You can just like buy them a lot cheaper. Cause that's sort of the other problem, is that like when you get down there, if you don't have any starter pins, it's hard to get them. So much cheaper way to get into it.
It does become like one of those big things, because like I think every pin at minimum is maybe like $10 a piece or something. So like if you see somebody with like a highly decorated lanyard, it's like it's like one of those things where it's like, well, that's a flex. Like,
yeah,
you know,
it's a little bit.
It's like, you know, like that person's wearing like some.
Yeah. They've spent some money on it.
Some pretty adorned. Yeah. But the other thing about having like the bulk pins too is that like, you know, you guys in particular, of course, collect like the Pluto pins.
Right.
And so it's like, this could be the type of thing where somebody else could have a Pluto pin that like, that has no specific meaning to them.
Yeah.
But then it might have some meaning to you guys.
Exactly.
As well. So it's like, you know, it's like, okay, I got this. These don't mean anything to me, but they might mean something to someone who collects Maleficent pins,
right? And it's we met a bunch of different people walking around the boat that were also doing the trading, like while we were doing it. And you know, some people, they'd be very broad, just like, I just collect, you know, Star Wars and Iron Man and, you know, Darth Vader or whatever. They'd have like just anything in this general category is good enough for them. And some people just be like, I have ones. If I find one that's better than one I have, I just, it's just, you know, that's it.
Right.
It's just cooler, or it's just the act of walking around. So we are like very focused on what we're going in at. So before we got on the boat, we were at Disney World for a day. We went to like Magic Kingdom.
Yep.
And this was like my starting point. So there was like a gift shop at the resort we were at, and they had like one of my go-to strategies is a lot of times they put Pluto in like the there'll be like a starter pin set where you can buy like four at a time and a lanyard.
Okay.
And a lot of times Pluto will be one of those guys. So it's like, okay, I want this because I get the Pluto, but then there's three others which I can just sort of trade because who cares?
Yeah,
I don't want this Chip and Dale pin.
Lame. What am I supposed to do with that?
I know. God, come on now. That one's easy to get rid of. And then when you just walk around, you can sort of shift them around. So I went in, and I remember like going through like the first day at Disney World, I was like, I have no idea how many to expect. Like, by the time we get to the end of this trip, like, will I have like completely covered my lanyard in like new exciting Pluto pins, or will it just be like, yeah, I got like three, you know, I don't know.
Right.
And I remember like we walked around the parks, and I think I found like Beth found a different one she could purchase. And I think we found like one we could trade for at Magic Kingdom. I was like, oh, it's sort of slim pickings. And then, there was one night where We did Disney Springs during the day, and I had found this like really cool Baymax shirt that I wanted.
Yes.
But they just did not have it in my size. I checked in the back. They're like, well, but you can also check at the big store in Epcot or at Magic Kingdom because they should have them too. And I was like, okay, we're not going back to those places, but good to know. Maybe yeah. it's online or something. But then it turns out later that night, we did have a park hopper pass. We just weren't planning on going because we didn't want to lug the kids all there. But it was sort of like, you know, 7 o'clock, the kids were in bed, and I was like, there was like talk of maybe going to Epcot, and Beth's like, you should just go. If you should just go look for the shirt, because like, what else are we gonna do? Just sit here? And I was like, all right, game. Oh, maybe I will go. I'll go by myself to Epcot. Let's go. You know,
dude, you did.
Why not?
You did it.
I did. So I was like, all right. And you know, you're looking at like the time. It's like 7 o'clock. Actually, still tons of fun to be had at Disney World.
Yeah.
So
how about that.
Yeah. And it was very weird being in the park like completely by yourself. It's like, well, what do I do? Because it's like I didn't want to pay for like Lightning Lanes. I wasn't doing like rides or anything. But I didn't also want to just go walk through the shop and be like, all right, done. See ya. You know.
I know. Which I think is like what I would have done. Like I definitely. It occurs to me that like I don't have like I could go and be inside of like a completely fun environment, but like without like my plan pre-built,
yeah,
I feel like I'd just sort of be like, huh, well, I checked. Now yeah. people are probably watching me.
Yeah, they all know.
Like, yeah, they're probably like, they're like, man, that guy has no idea what he's doing by himself right now. He yeah. is clearly like just clueless as to what to go. So he'll probably just leave. Oh, yeah, there he goes.
There you go. See ya. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my plan was, to go look for the shirt, which I did not find at Epcot.
Too bad.
Unfortunate. But I also know, I was like, you know what? There's a really cool pin trading shop at Epcot as well. So I'll go check that out as well. Though at least, you know, maybe I found something new there.
Yeah.
Which I don't think I did there. But after I went through the store and didn't find anything, I was like, well, I haven't had dinner. And Epcot, famous for having good food. So it's like, I'm just going to sort of walk around the World Showcase. And a lot of times, like, we'll stop in like Mexico and Norway. And then a lot of the ones in the back, I feel like I just sort of skim through a lot of times. Like there's less like to do there, it seems like.
Sure.
But since I was by myself and had no particular plan at all, I just sort of went through like every single shop.
Amazing.
Like just sort of like walked in like, what's in here? Oh, it's perfume. Oh, this one's cologne. Oh, this one, oh, you know, just like what have they put in every single one?
Right.
And then like almost every shop in every kingdom has a different pin board. And I was like, oh man, well, you know what? Now I can just at least look for pins as I walk around and sample different foods around the world here. So it was pretty fun just sort of being like waiting to see if there was like a food that sparked your fancy and then checking all the boards and whatever. Did not find a single Pluto pin at Epcot, though.
Unbelievable.
On the entire World Showcase. I was like, that is, what are the freaking odds? Like, I looked at so many, and then I was like feeling discouraged. Like, oh, maybe it's just run dry, you know? And you start to see, like, all like certain kinds of pins are like on a lot of boards. Like clearly these are like the loser pins. Like no, there's these little black rectangle ones that are like clearly everyone hates them. Like they can't give them away.
Right. Yeah, like, yeah. Like what, where or when did these in like pins come from in particular?
Yeah.
That so many people purchase them that they're like in circulation yeah. for trading, but apparently nobody wants
no
them.
No one wants them.
It is. I've noticed that as well, where it's like, yeah. it does seem like there's like premium ones that you can find on like one or two on every board. And there's like a handful, or it's like
right.
I've seen most of mm-hmm. these before.
Is it, yeah. I have to say, I think maybe the least popular pin in all of Disney is this square one of Ursula's chin from The Little Mermaid.
Okay.
Like there was clearly some set once upon a time that was like villains. Chins. I don't know why.
Because
yes.
I've seen the Scar one. I've seen
the
Jafar
Scar one.
Yeah,
the Jafar yeah. one. Yeah, but like
very like defined chins.
I know. Yeah, like I guess I don't know, but Ursula. I guess people are just like repulsed by her chin. And
oh, okay.
I mean, yeah. it was on so many boards. I'm like, I can't believe it's here again. Like I should like keep tally. Or like, I feel like how could I game if I was like, I get like 10 points if I find the Ursula pin.
Right.
So
right,
yeah,
yeah,
be on the lookout. If you trade pins, I'm sure you know the one I'm talking about because it's on all of them.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So there's that. But then as I'm leaving Epcot, like not defeated, I obviously had just a wonderful time just walking around and checking out the shops, even if I didn't come up with any new pins or the Baymax shirt. It occurred to me that like, you know what? Magic Kingdom doesn't close until 11. And the lady at Disney Springs said that I could check the shop there. And I've got a park hopper, so it's not like I have anything else to do.
Gonna hop on the monorail.
I just hopped on the monorail, went over to Magic Kingdom. And then I always have this like freak out. Every time I'm entering the parks, there's this freak out moment where I'm like, I'm gonna scan my magic band. And it's gonna be like, you're not allowed in this park. You've misinterpreted the information. It doesn't work.
I have
to go stand
in
guest relations. you'll never be allowed in. I'm always like, I always feel like I'm about to have done something wrong. Walked right in, no problem.
Amazing.
Yep. They also do not have the shirt there. Total bummer.
Wow. Must be a super popular shirt.
Well, I think they only sell it at Disney Springs. Because I looked it up later and it was like, new thing arrives at World of Disney, Disney Springs. And I was like, well, someone lied to me because it's clearly not at these other places either.
That happens.
Lame. Yeah. So not a problem. But then as I'm like walking out, I'm like, okay, well, the shirt hunt is done. I'm like, what can I do here now? Cause like certainly all of the rides are going to have like long lines. Like it couldn't even like Lightning Lane something, you know, I don't want to go wait in like an hour for Tron or something right now. Like that's not worth my time, but I pull it up anyway, just to see like, are any rides short? Like, could I go do something? And the very top one, Ben, at a 5-minute wait, which basically means no line, is Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin. And I was like, oh, pay dirt. Let's go. Like, I'm just going to go do this until I get Galactic Hero.
Amazing. Which is, of course, the perfect score.
Yeah. So if you don't know how the ride works, you sit in this little buggy and you've got this little laser blaster and there's these little targets as you go through the ride and you just shoot them and try and get a high score. But we have been... We know like the cheat code, as it were. We know the targets that are worth the most.
We do, yeah. So when we got to do some work with Disney once upon a time, we sort of like cracked the code.
Yeah, we cracked the code. We put the myth to the test. Are these the ones that will get you the perfect score if you can hit them? And the answer is absolutely true. Yes, they will. But even when you know where they are, you still have to hit them.
Yeah.
And it's not always super easy because the targets are far away or they're moving or, you know, you don't have a good line on it or whatever. But it only took me 2 tries and I got Galactic Hero and I was like so pumped about it. Like,
I bet. That's amazing. Did you get your sticker?
Oh, I got my sticker. Absolutely got my sticker. I was like, I ended up getting it like 2 rooms early. So I just sat there. I was like, I can't even shoot anything now. Nothing to do. No. Just enjoy the ride.
Let me
take some selfies.
Yeah, like a big yawn for the for the ride cam.
That's right. There you go. Done. Easy. So that was pretty exciting. I was like, man, I remember that was like a really fun moment because I remember as a kid that being just like hands down my favorite ride at Disney World. And like there was a situation where I think it rained one day and like a lot of people left and then it like or maybe it was like broken down for a minute, but we came back to it and there was no line and we did it like 3 or 4 times with like the whole family.
It was
so fun. I was like, well, that's never going to happen again. But that day it did.
Yes. Yes.
And I was like, all I need is time. You know, it's hard to convince everyone to do the stride over and over, but it's just me. So let's go. And then I was feeling so proud of myself and I was like, okay, I missed on the pins. I missed on the shirt. I've been to 2 parks. I've walked I don't even know how many miles tonight. Like, but I'm not coming home empty-handed. So on Main Street at Disney World, there is this one sweet shop where like this is like a little known secret, I feel like, where if you go to the very, very back, there's this like popcorn bar.
Right. I still haven't done it.
Yeah. Where you can go and they'll like you like choose like a kind of popcorn and then you build this, I don't know, you can put like M&Ms or Oreos or chocolate syrup or whatever. You build this like amazing bowl of popcorn.
Yes.
And like our little brother Tyler told us about it and they've done it. And the last 2 times we've been there, like I've wanted to do it and we haven't made it back there. But and me and Beth had done it the other day. And I was like, you know, and the kids destroyed it. They loved it.
That's awesome.
And so I was like, you know what? I'm getting another bucket of popcorn. I'm going to go do it. That's going to be a nice little surprise for everyone when I get back. Look at this. Another set of popcorn. Booyah. But this was also one of my favorite moments was I walk in there and the girl who had taken my order the first time when me and Beth went was working again. And like, this is a full day later. She goes, I think I remember your order. And I was like, there's no way. Like how many people have you made popcorn for
since
and
then?
In the last like day, like certain, like that. I mean, sure enough, she's just like, cheddar, dark chocolate, Oreo, M&M, pretzels. I was like, oh my gosh, you just like completely remembered it.
Incredible.
I know. That was so cool. And then the lady behind me was like, that sounds so good. He sounds like he knows what he's doing. I want that one. And I was like, yeah. I was like, well, I don't want, you know, I do a podcast with my brother. It's called Popcorn Culture. So we're like all about the popcorn. And she's like, oh, really? That's so cool.
Yes.
So I'm like, you know, I'm like, I'm in the zone and like my popcornness here. And this lady's so impressed with my order. I'm like, okay.
You can call it I'll take the Jonathan Carlin.
I'll take the Jonathan Carlin. Yeah. But then I turn around and the girl's like, I thought that was you. So I think that's why she remembered it because she'd like seen us on YouTube before. And then her friend pops up. She's like, oh, she knew it was you. She came in the back after you came in here yesterday. She's like, you won't believe it was just here.
Oh my gosh. That is so funny.
Like, so now I'm just like blushing.
Yeah.
Like,
I know, right? Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm fully expecting them to put the Super Carlin Brothers mix on the popcorn board any day now.
Yeah, we'd love that. We'd love that.
Absolutely.
It would be incredible.
If you want to know what it is, if you're ever there and you want to try our particular blend.
Proprietary blend.
Yeah. You want the cheddar popcorn, the dark chocolate syrup, the peanut butter M&Ms, pretzels, and the Oreo crumbles.
Wow.
There you go. You're welcome.
Dang.
You're going to love it.
Yeah. Now people are going to have to let us know if they go and try it.
Yeah. If you get it,
it does sound
please let us know. Because yeah, it was super good. But here's the other thing. Ben.
Okay.
I brought it back to the room. And of course, everyone's already asleep. And the next morning we're leaving for the cruise. So like there's not like a good time to eat. It's not like wake up and be like, here, you guys want some like popcorn candy or whatever.
Right. Yeah. Yes. We've already discussed that.
Yeah.
that pitfall.
Yeah. Yeah. Not a good time for sure. We're like, you know, we'll just bring it on the cruise. At some point, I'm sure it'll be like, guess what? We have a special treat. But that moment never came.
Yeah.
So we go to like pack up and I'm like, I can't believe how long I've been lugging around this like bucket of popcorn and haven't opened it at all. Like, cause I'm like, I want the kids to be able to enjoy it.
Right.
And we're like packing up on the final day. And the way it works is you get like the crew on the cruise will come take all of your bags and put them in this like big warehouse so that when everyone's exiting the cruise, they're not like
lugging all their.
Yeah, you're not. Everyone's carrying like 10 bags or whatever. So it was a pretty good system. But we left like a morning of bag just for all like the little random stuff, which the popcorn was included in.
OK.
Right. So the popcorn's in that bag. And we knew going in that we had 8 tagged bags that the crew took. And then we had our lone final bag.
Okay.
And we go, we get on the bus, we go to the airport, we get off the bus, they take all the luggage off the bus, they're sitting on the ground, and we just count up, we're like, 8 tags, got it. And we go inside the airport and go to the bathroom real quick because it was a long bus ride. And then we come out and we're like, where's the pink bag? Turns out, and we're like, oh, we must have left it out there because we only counted 8 and didn't account for it. We kept thinking like 8 tags.
Right.
But then like it was actually 9. And we turn around, we go back outside, and in the time it took us to go to the bathroom, the bus is gone and the bag is gone. And we're like, oh no.
The worst.
This is the worst.
The lost luggage.
And man, if you've ever lost luggage at the airport, just I feel so bad for you because it's such a kerfuffle. And we lost it at like just the worst point in the trip, because like right at the moment where you're unsure whose responsibility that bag is now, like did the crews take it back? Did
yes,
you the guys, airport take it back? Like
right, because yeah, it's you're literally dealing with potentially 3 different entities altogether.
Right.
One of them is Disney Cruise Line, which is like quite literally, you know, like if you're unfamiliar even with how they work, they do 4-night and 3-night itineraries because literally the day that it returns to port, it refills back up and goes back out. And that's how your 3 and 4 day like lineups work out to give you like 7 days of the week. So it's just always going. So it's like, okay, so then it's like it's exited the cruise line, but then you're in like this in-between stage, like where we've like, you know, paid for our bus transport, which is then like it's like a second entity, and then you get to like, you know, MCO, like Orlando International, and it's its own entity. And so it's like, which of these groups is responsible for where it currently is,
and you don't know. It's like it was left on the sidewalk. Did like they just put it back on the bus? Does that mean it's with the buses? When the bus went back to the ship, did they unload it again? And they're like, hey, this was clearly on the cruise. Please find the passenger.
Right.
Or did they just like, they were like, no, once it's off the bus, that's it. It's on the sidewalk. Now someone at the airport took it because they're like unattended bag.
Right. Yeah.
So you just don't know.
Right.
And we're like, fortunately, we had like 5 hours until our flight, which seemed like it was going to be a bad thing because it was like, how are we going to entertain the kids for 5 hours? But it gave us time to fill out all of the lost and found forms.
Yes.
And then, so this bag, of course, was holding the popcorn.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It was really funny. I feel like the layers at which everybody was like the relationship with this bag in particular, because it seemed like it held so many different.
Yes.
Like valuable things for different reasons. So like it had like one of the Super Carlin Brothers like iPads in it.
Yes.
So like one of the iPads that we use for like the J versus Ben, like our show notes, like while we're recording the pop here and stuff like that. Like, you know, so normally it just lives at the office. It never leaves the office save for these handful of trips where it's like a useful device to have.
Yeah. For the kids to like watch movies or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like, okay, there's like the like like reason number one, this is like a fairly expensive item that is now inside of the bag that is now missing, and we will also not have it for like when work arises. And yeah. then it's sort of like, then there's like the conversation where it's like, oh man, and then like the popcorn that I got on Main Street was yeah. in there, and I was so excited to have the popcorn.
Yes.
Like, and that's missing. And then I think the one that got like literally everybody, and I feel like this was the one that signified how important the pins had gotten to yes. the trip, was it was like our lanyards were in there.
Yeah.
And every single person, I think, was sort of like, screw the iPad.
I know.
Screw the value of it. Like the clothes, like this, yeah, that, the other. Right. Like it was like, not the pins.
I know. It was like audible gasp. Like, no, you lost the pins.
I know. Because it's like, it's like its own like bizarro, like labor of love that yes. has now gone into,
yeah.
you know, like trips upon trips and like, you know, collecting and like even just like we said earlier, like the investment of the pins themselves.
I know. Right. Like I said, those were some of like our favorite, like my favorite memories on the boat were like Luke sprinting from door to door and finding a new pin he wanted. And like even watching him having to like rationalize out like which one on his lanyard did he want to trade? And it was like, just sort of like watching him sort of like understand the transaction a little.
Yes. Was yes. Yes. Cool. Yes. And like, I'm going to have to give up something I currently have. Yes. Order to have something I now want.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So like that was good. And like, I mean, Luke especially, he was just all in on it. He left with probably like, I don't know, 25 pins or something.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because he'd come across one, he would just love it. And we have like, you know, so many little tradables. It's like, all right, you can just have one of mine to trade. And you know, that worked out great for him because he netted one and didn't have to give up anything.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
But that's fine because that's what we bought them for. So don't care.
Right. 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 That is the point.
That is the point. Yeah. Like, don't worry about that. But then I was going to feel so bad because I mean, he was so excited about him. He was talking about him the whole time. It's like, now your lanyard's gone. I'm like, I do not want to be the one to tell you that he lost all of them. Yes. And then like, I'm also just like privately devastated that all my new Pluto pins are gone, because even though I struck out at Epcot and Magic Kingdom, the pin trading on the boat was epic.
Yeah.
Like you could walk around and you found so many boards, so many people were doing it. And like you could walk around and then you could just do it again the next day. And so many people were doing it that they were just like all fresh again.
All fresh. Yeah.
Yeah. And,
I mean, that was the other thing that was wild too, because I had to walk past your room in order to get to my room every day.
Yeah.
And the number of times that I would be like coming down the hallway and just saw people interacting with the pin board hanging on your door.
Yeah.
It was sort of like I would like, I'd like turn the corner and I would like see the people standing there, and I would grab like Allie's hand. I'm like, oh, Allie, it's happening.
Yeah.
Look, the thing.
It's real.
You know, yeah. It's like, because, you know, for the most part, you don't actually ever see this exchange at work.
Yeah, you don't see it happening. So
like to see it, you know, you're like, oh, no way.
I know. You sort of like, even when I hung it up there, I was like, you know, how much, you know, I probably put like, you know, 20 pins on like our little board just for people to come take. And I was like, I had no idea what to expect. Like, yeah, maybe we'll get like one or something, you know, like I had like very low bar expectations. You come back from dinner and it'd be like, this one's new. Wait, that one's new. Cool. You know,
yes,
like,
yeah.
What is it? And we put up a little sign that said like, we collect Pluto pins. So there's always the hope that like someone would see the sign and be like, oh, I'll leave a Pluto pin for
yes.
them. Which happened twice. And both times it was extremely exciting and I loved it.
Exactly. I mean, it's like the weirdest version of like having something like passively, it's like putting out like a fishing net or something like that and coming back to like discover like, what did you get?
Yeah,
you
know, exactly.
Like, is there anything in there?
Yeah, it was so fun. So when you found the Pluto ones, that was pretty great. And then the other cool thing about it was like, yeah, like our, you know, like every now and then it'd be like, oh, I think we got one that was like a license plate that's a Doom Buggy on it, which is what they call the carts at Haunted Mansion, which yes. is like Alice's favorite ride. And it was like, oh my gosh. It was like, you know, sometimes they weren't like cool, like specifically to me. We'd be like, Alice, look at this. And it'd be like, oh, what? So cool. So
yes.
it was fun to like get them for other people too, because we had just like such like bulk trading ability, which was nice. But then like halfway through the trip, like we said, Dad got the pin bug and he was like, okay, I'm gonna do Goofy pins. And I was like, great choice, because there's just, you know, tons of Goofies everywhere. So then it gave you something like extra to look for. It made like, okay, I can look at this board, there's no Pluto on it, but there is a Goofy, so I may as well trade one and just give that to Dad.
Yes.
You know. And then when we got to the airport to leave for the trip, one of the bulk pins we got had been this like Dalmatian, and like, you know, our mom works at the SPCA, and Luke was like, oh, I just have to give this one to Nana. She's just going to love it, just because it was a dog.
Right.
And so we got there and, you know, he ran straight over to her and was like, Nana, look. And like, mom was like so touched. Like she just like, she loved so much that how like he associated her with dogs and the pin. And she was just like, okay, Dalmatians, I'm looking for anything Dalmatian anywhere. That's what I'm doing.
Yes.
And so every now and like the Dalmatian stuff is hard to find. Turns out there's not a ton of merch being made for it, but anytime then you found like a Dalmatian paint, it was like, oh, score,
right?
It made it fun to like search for other people too, like beyond just the Pluto pins.
But this is almost like, yeah, I feel like what is dawning on me a little bit is like, you go in and you might want to pick what your thing is going to be, but I almost think it needs to happen to you,
yeah,
in some way, like, because, yeah, I feel like you guys didn't really like pick Pluto. It was just sort of like, I mean, you did eventually,
yeah,
but like you didn't like go in initially being like, Pluto, that's our guy, like, you know,
right, like here's a fun way to approach it,
right? But then, like, you know, because very similarly, Mom went, like, you know, Addie was finally tall enough, so she is like over 36 inches at this point, so
yeah,
she could go on like a bunch of rides. So like one of her first ever like proper rides was going on Dumbo with Mom, and so, right, then like all of a sudden, like, Dumbo meant something to like Mom because it was like her first ride
with Addie, right?
You know, and like all, but like again, it's like, I, like as kids, it's not like we like watched a lot of Dumbo or anything like that.
I think we like actively disliked it.
Yeah, may have. Yeah, exactly. So, but either way, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, it was so cool. Like the little ways in which each pin ended up having like these like memories,
right? Exactly, linkaged
back to them and stuff. Yeah.
Anyway. As of now, the Lost and Found forms did work. The airport had the bag. They have contacted us. They confirmed that it was the right one, and they will be shipping it back to us. So we will get the pins back at some point. But at the moment, what is hilarious is that, sure enough, by the end of the trip, my lanyard was loaded with Pluto pins. Like, I think I probably got like 15 new ones or something.
That's amazing.
Which was so exciting for me personally. And just like I think the family, Luke and Nick and Nate also know to look for the Pluto pins in particular.
Yes. Yeah.
They know it's like a family thing. So that's exciting. I ordered a brand new pin board to go on the wall because I ran out of space on the old one.
Good problem to have.
Yeah, I know. Good problem to have. But like Beth had brought down like this, a Pluto themed fanny pack that she had bought before the trip, which is also in the suitcase and is now missing.
Oh gosh.
But because it was like Pluto themed, she brought some of our pre-existing Pluto pins with us to just like adorn the bag with, just sort of like, oh, this is cool. And so since we lost the bag, we actually are at the moment like net negative 3 pins on the trip because we brought some with us, which are now lost. So if and when the bag gets back to us, we'll be like up like 15 or something.
That's
amazing.
But
at the moment, I'm like, I cannot believe I went down there and walked around that boat so many times and found so many cool new pins, and I'm walking away with less than I started with.
This cannot be
what's happening right now.
Right. Yes. Like certainly I expected my wallet to feel this way, but not my pin board.
I know. Yeah. That's another thing. It's like we didn't buy some too. You know?
Right.
It's all just gone. And it's like, you're right. It's like, it's funny that the pins are the thing that is like the thing that's missing the most.
Even though there's
like an iPad. It's like, I think Beth had like a pretty nice dress in there and yeah, whatever. So that's what we're looking for. And the popcorn, I'm like, I hope the popcorn's still good when it gets here. Like popcorn doesn't really go bad that fast.
I'm pretty sure we've had an entire conversation about the popcorn machine. That's quite literally it's sitting next to you right now.
Yeah.
And I think at some point in time you have just reached in and ate like 3 month old popcorn.
It's true.
No big. So. But the other big like takeaway for me was that like, we bought Allie like air tags for her, keys once upon a time, and I have heard people who have like air tagged like everything, or even like, you know, I think that there's like possible like kids clothing that like has like a little like a pouch for an air tag. So like if you go to like a theme park or you're traveling or something,
right, you can like track your kids or whatever,
track them. Yeah. But I was like, oh my gosh, after this trip, I was like, everybody's getting air tags for birthdays and Christmas and holidays and all this stuff because we're tracking everything from now on and for always.
Exactly. Well, this was the other thing is that like inside the bag we've mentioned is one of the iPads.
Yes.
And
so we
realized at some point, like, oh, and maybe you've already pointed this out at home and you're like, why didn't you guys just do this? But there's like the Find My iPhone function or whatever on it. And like Beth realized it and you could just, and like she looked at me and was like, oh, we can do the Find My iPhone. And you could like this like wave of relief just like crashed over both of us. Just like, you're right. Oh my gosh, we have an out. The iPad was in there. And I'm like immediately trying to like, I've never used this before. And like the iPads live at the office. Like, did I turn on the functionality? Like, why would I? It never goes anywhere, you know?
Right.
Like, and I'm like worried about that. And I'm like, whose account is it signed into? Is it like mine or Ben's or like a business account or something? Like,
right.
Who's? And it's like, it's mine. So I'm like, okay, this is going to work. And you can go in and you can, like, even if you didn't activate it from, you can use your phone to activate it on a different device, wherever it is.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, boom, do it. And then it's like, but the problem is it's not like on at all. So it can't like send out the signal at all. So I'm like, all we need is for someone to go through the bag and like just push the on button.
And like, then it will like register.
And then it'll go. And yeah. It even occurs to me that like, if you work in Lost and Found, this is probably like a known thing. Like, oh, found an iPad, click the button.
Yeah.
Like that'll signal them, or it's a way to signal them or something. But we turn it on and like for 10 seconds, we were like, we're going to know where it is.
I know.
And then sure enough, it did not register at all.
I know. And it was so frustrating to you because the other iPad was left at the office and,
yes.
and editor Isabel was animating or like illustrating yeah. on it. So we could see the other iPad yes. showing up on Find My.
I know.
In Roanoke. Yeah. It was
like, no,
man. Then the other one is showing up and it's like device not found, which is also kind of funny because it means that you brought it on the trip with the hopes of using it for entertainment purposes, but it doesn't register the Find My location if you haven't opened it for like 7 days.
Oh, that was, it had to be like 7 days or something. So I don't know if that means it would be active the whole time or something.
I don't know that it would be. I think that probably where it had last been opened yes. is most likely like which, where it was.
Yeah, but. Which also hilariously would have just been in like at my house.
Right.
But
right.
it was like, this was like a full, like if we, what day did we leave on Friday? So
yeah.
This was the next Friday. And it would like, I checked it Friday morning to see what movies were on there. And then it was like, oh, here we go. Cool. They're on there. Put it back in. And then it never got turned on the rest of the trip. So this was Friday, like midday now. So even if like just by turning it on, you activate the beacon for like 7 days, we missed out on it by like 3 hours.
Yes. You know? It was so like remarkably close to having been, you know, able to like click into gear
right.
and everything. But
yeah, now that we're turning on, it's been 7 days. And 3 hours, so
right.
it's gone. So,
but this is like one of those like things in my mind where it's like you can, because you know, like my dogs, for example, are like microchipped, you know, and it's like one of those things where it's like it's a good safety measure in case they're ever lost, so that we can be able to like identify them when
right.
somebody finds them and like prove that they're in fact our dogs. And it's like, but it's also one of those things where it's like you do it and it's like a safety precaution, but you basically do it like, and you don't actually ever expect.
No, it's like insurance. It's like,
yeah,
you don't have to have it, but you don't want to use it.
Right. You don't ever expect like reap the benefits of having it. And,
yeah.
and it's like, this was so close to one of those moments where like this piece of tech could have come into play. Like there's a part of me that almost like wishes for the day. Like I've had stuff like stolen from my house. I think I've talked about it like a handful of times. You know, and it's like, there's always that part of me that like wishes I had like left a tracker on like my lawnmowers,
right.
plural
yeah.
that have been stolen. and you know, because then it would be like this sweet moment where you could be like, I know where you are. Like
right.
I know where my lawnmower is.
I'm coming to get it.
Like it would be, you could like savor that moment of like having done the precautionary step and then being able to use the precautionary step to successfully track down your lost item. And it's like now it's like, I'm so determined. Like I want to lose something so I can find it.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
And have it.
It's like you don't want something to be stolen, but at the same time, it'd be like, if I tracked something and it was stolen and then I got it back, like that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, right. like, how amazing would it be? Like, I see.
Where they are.
Right. Well, I mean, that sounds like a little intense, but still.
Because then you could, like, you could just genuinely just call the police and be like, yeah, my lawnmower was stolen. I have a GPS tracker for it, and I know exactly where it is.
Yes, yeah.
Please go retrieve it for me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, but we're, yeah. So now it's like, now I want to tag all of my stuff. And then that way, like when we travel in perpetuity, it will just always be available to be rediscovered.
Exactly. Again. Lest you, lose it, which this is the bag we actually lost, but it is not the first time on the trip when we almost lost the bag, because when we were leaving Roanoke, we had a connecting flight in Charlotte.
Yes.
And it was like really cold that morning. So before they left, they wanted to like spray the plane down with some like anti-icing liquid or something.
Right.
Which, great. Thank you for doing that. But like rather than the plane having a mechanical problem, like the hose truck had a problem
yes.
or something. So we're sitting on the tarmac for like 40 minutes waiting for them to finally decide to bring over the second hose truck or whatever and
yeah.
blast the wings. And you know, obviously we made it safe. But because we sat there, our connection was just like, we are going to have to get off the plane and run. Like, yes, run.
Like,
run.
Like, we had to be those people.
Yeah, like, yeah, sprinting through the airport. And we're like, we're all like working. And it's like, we were in a small plane. So it's like, you get off, and that doesn't mean you can just immediately take off, because all the luggage, they don't have overhead space. So they just put the luggage underneath. So when you get off, you have to wait for them to go get the stuff from underneath, and they slowly bring it out one at a time. And you're hoping to win the bag lottery, and, you know. So like, I know I'm going to wait for the bag lottery. And Beth's like, okay, the kids are going to be a lot slower moving through the airport. Because we got, that's the other thing. Like, running is one thing. Running with three kids, whole different story.
Yes.
So yeah. Beth's like, we all have like a plan. It's like, okay, you people are waiting for the bags. You people are going to focus on getting the kids all the way across the airport. As soon as we go, you just take off and we'll catch up, because you're going to move slower and we're going to move faster.
Right.
Kind of thing. So like, that, we're waiting. We get there, and like the people in front of us go, and we're just like, go. And Beth manages to get to the other gate, and she's got all the kids, and I am like running through the airport. I'm pushing both of our rolly bags.
Right.
And I finally catch up, and it's like her part of the plan, she executed perfectly. And she turns around, she's like, where's Ben and Alice? And I'm like, I don't know. Last I saw Alice, she said, run, you know,
run.
And she's like, where are my parents? And I'm like, they were still waiting for their bag. They're, you know, to her, she's like, why didn't you guys coordinate? And I'm like, look, we had the back group had a plan. Okay. You don't worry about it. No, you know,
right. No, I know.
We're good.
Yeah. But like, this was like one of those moments where like, you're like sprinting around the corner. And like, it was so funny too, because like, as ever, you know, like when you're stuck on a plane for like an extended period of time, especially given some of like the weather related circumstances and everything, it's like you get to your destination, and it's like the first thing you want to do when you get off the plane is just like go run to the restroom really quick. And it's sort of like, you know, most of the time that's not that big of a deal. You just have enough time.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
When you're connecting flights. But this was like literally one of those where I was like racing through the hallways, and I'm like going past the bathroom. I'm like, I bet we have enough time for me to like run in. And I'm like, I don't know. And like, as I'm thinking this, you call me and you're like, hey, I'm at the gate. Like, they're about to close the door.
Yeah.
And I'm like what?
Never mind.
Know? So I'm like sprinting around the corner, and like the lady's like holding, you know, like the edge of the door or whatever. Yeah. And then like you go through, but then there's the situation where it was like your in-laws.
Yeah. My in-laws
are still not there, and we're like, oh my gosh, like this is not going to be a missing bag situation. This is going to be like, we have taken off on a flight and left two members of our party
behind.
That
was like worst case scenario. It was like, wait for everyone to get here before you get on. But then they're like, you know, you guys got to get on, and people like our parents had like already gotten on. I was like, oh god, now we're in a real situation here.
Yes.
And like, I'm like, we're like walking down the jetway, and like I'm looking back, I'm like, please don't close the door. I'm like just waiting for like Pam and Martin to come around the corner. And like, I mean, it was like heroic. Like, they turned the corner, and it was like, oh, that's them, hold the door. And they're like, okay, no big deal. And then we get in there, and Beth's like, where's the duffel bag? You're supposed to grab the duffel bag. And I'm like replaying the conversation when we were sitting on the plane earlier, and I was like, yeah, I was supposed to grab a duffel bag, and I 1000% did not. I 1,000,000% don't have it. I'm like, you know, I don't even like look around and be like, wait, did I get it? No, it's like, no.
It's like, I definitely like, did not get the other duffel bag.
I completely forgot it. And I'm like, oh no, now our duffel bag's on the other plane. And like, normally I wouldn't have even thought, I'd be like, you know what? Let me run back to the other gate. And it's like, there's no chance.
No way.
It's not like, oh yeah, hold on. We know exactly where it is. You've got 2 hours to wait. We'll get it back to you. And it was like, nope. And it's like, that's got all the kids' jackets. That's got all these useful things we're going to need. And we're just like freaking out, like, as you know, preview of the next Friday where we actually lose the bag. But then Pam and Martin like walk around the corner, like, we got your duffel. And it was like,
I know.
Oh my God.
It was like everything just like clicked back together.
It was like, I can't believe that. That was like
a travel miracle.
It was like a travel miracle, only for us to then lose a bag at a different point.
Oh yeah. And this is still not even counting the fact that on this very next flight, our dad's bag was lost.
Wait, was it? Oh, you're right. Yes.
Yeah. On our way to Disney. Yeah.
Just by like, because it was his checked bag. It was his checked bag, and it got like on some other. I don't understand how checked luggage works, and how it doesn't. It's not just on the plane with you, or like sometimes it goes on other planes to get to the destination. I don't know how it works, but yeah, the airport lost his bag rather than him losing it.
Yes. So then he had to recover it as well. So
what a trip!
It was a trip full of calamities, and a travel party of 12 people, including 4 kids, all of whom still probably need a fair bit of extra care and attention of navigating.
Right.
And,
like, they can walk around pretty good, but they do want to be held.
Yes. You know? So it was like, all in all, on the whole, I thought it was just a really, really, really fun trip. And it was like, the thing that made me the most happy about that is that like during the trip, I had like some of my like most stressful like moments as like a parent.
Yeah.
But then like at the same time, it was so interesting to me because I've, like in the past year, you know, like I've had plenty of vacations like where certain things like came up or where like there were challenges associated with the weather was really bad or there were mosquitoes or, you know, too much rain or not enough or whatever the case may be. You know, it's like you've encountered all these various issues. And this is what I mean. It's like when you're on the trip, it's like you have no idea when all is said and done, like what will like rise to the top as like the memorable moments of the trip.
Right.
And it was amazing to me, at least in particular, that like I got home, I got through all the chaos, like all the madness, like all like the flights, exchanges, the crying, the excitement, the sugar rushes, like right. whatever. And it was like all the negative stuff like fell to the bottom and all of the good stuff rose to the top. Yeah. And I was like, man, like I, like when I was in it, I couldn't have told you that that's how I would like walk out the other side.
Right.
But like, sometimes that's what you need. It's like, it's like, you've got a medley of experiences happening. There's tens and twos and you know, like good times, bad times, highs, lows, ups, downs, whatever.
Right.
And it's like, when you get out the other side, it's like, you'll eventually, when you reflect, you get to enjoy or despair in your recollection
exactly
and like what stood out to you. So anyway, on the whole, I thought it was an amazing and fun trip, and I'm glad we did it.
Yeah, I'm glad we did it too. I mean I would definitely go on another cruise. I would maybe want my boys to be just a smidge older. I can't imagine also at the same rate, like I was also imagining like what it would be like if they were all like, you know, like 13 or something, and you could just, you know, wake up in the morning and be like, all right guys, we have dinner at 5:45 at Arendelle, see you there.
Like
go have fun, you know your way around the boat, go do whatever you want, you know. Right.
But see, you did it this time, so that time,
yeah,
like, you know, it's exactly like, it's like how they say, like when you get home and you almost need like a vacation from your vacation,
because
sometimes vacations are so like fast paced that it's like, it's not relaxing. And then you get home and you're like, man, I have to go to work in a day.
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't know if I'm ready. Like I'm exhausted from everything I just did.
Yeah.
I almost feel like this would be like my takeaway. I felt very similar the first time Alice and I went to Disney as adults, I think back in 2017
with a camper,
you know, where it was like, it was jam packed with calamity. Like Alice had way more experience going to the parks than I did. So I was just like drinking from the fire hose. I didn't know about like the lightning lanes and like how to do all of the fast passes, right. And
didn't have any pins.
No pins whatsoever. Oh, yeah. So, you know, like I didn't know how to like dress for the trip. I locked my keys in the camper at one point in time. I had to have like a locksmith come and like crack me open and all this type of stuff. And it's like, it was like all of these things happened, and I almost felt like by the time the next trip came around, and it was like, okay, now we're staying like in one of the resorts that's going to have like bus transport to everything.
Yeah.
Now I know how fast passes work. Now I know which places I get to like look forward to going to. It was like all of the stuff, it was sort of like it synced into place. And I was like, I almost feel like you need to go on a cruise so you can just get like the absolute like crash course on how all this stuff works.
Yeah.
So that when you go on the next one,
right.
It's like, okay, now I got it. Like
right.
Now I know what to expect. Now I know where to go.
We're
now
in the rhythm.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So there's like, I mean, there were just little like nuanced things that it's like, you can see yourself getting better at even as the week went on. Like you could fill out this little card to hang out on your door that would bring you like a continental breakfast to your room.
Yes.
At the morning. And like, that was so convenient, but like all of it is like a lot of bread stuff.
Uh-huh.
Mostly.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas, and like, you know, someone's going to come knock on the door, and if the kids are still asleep, like maybe that's going to wake them up or, yeah, you know, whatever. But like by the last day, we realized that like at 7 o'clock, the buffet floor is open, and at 7 o'clock, nobody is awake.
Right.
Like everyone's asleep. So you can just walk up there, load your plate up with all the breakfast you want, and walk right back down to the room with it. And it was like, not only was it like faster, but it was like a huge selection, and it was like, you just get whatever you wanted.
Yeah, like much more nutritionally balanced.
Yeah, more nutritionally balanced food.
Yeah.
So it was like, oh man, I wish we'd just been doing that the whole time. Like I was awake at 7 anyway, you know?
Right, yes.
If only I'd realized. It's like now, if I go back, it's like, oh, I'm on it. I know about breakfast.
Yes. So yeah, it's like my like mental analogy for it is almost like doing trips like this. It's like the first time you go, you've got like a blank page, and it's like if you imagine like a coloring book, it's like you go with a blank page. The first trip is like giving like the black markered outlines of like what you're supposed to fill in. And then the next one is using colors.
Exactly. Yes.
And so I think like if I were to go again, it would be like, okay, I know the outline. I know the shape of it. I know what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
Now I can optimize.
Now we can do it.
But there was, I mean, that would be like my piece of advice. It's like you, because, and I think maybe there's like a little bit of this as well that can be like disparaging to you while you're on a trip, where, because you do all the research, you can read all the blogs, you watch all the videos, like all the things that you did. It's like, I'm going to be so prepared for this. And then you get there and it's like, there's so much stuff that you have to like learn about how it all works to kind of get the framework together. But I think that having like the right mental, expectation in place can go such a long way.
It really can. Yeah. So anyway, I can't wait to go back to Disney. It's always so much fun.
There we go. Yeah. So if you guys have any fun cruise related stories, be sure to email them over to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. We love to get all of your amazing feedback, and I do read every single one of the emails that comes through. So thank you guys so much. If you've written in the past, also, if you'd like to support the show, you can do so by going over to patreon.com/popcornculture. We've got lots of cool perks there, including After the Final Pop, just extra me and Jay talking about something else we didn't get to in the main episode.
Yeah, probably more cruise stuff, being honest.
Yeah, there's a good possibility. We haven't been able to stop there. So again, patreon.com/popcornculture. But otherwise, until next time.
Pop pop.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.